Now we come to another man here at verse 12, and let me begin reading. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And here goes our hook rolling down through history again. They were serving God, then they did evil and forsook God. God delivered them into servitude. And what happened? Verse 14, the children of Israel serve Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. Now notice, but when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, here we go again, we're starting up now on the hoop, they cried unto the Lord. What happened? The Lord raised up a deliverer. Who is he? Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. Now, this is a good one for you, friends. The only thing this man had that was going for him, he was a southpaw. He was left-handed. He might have been a good pitcher today on one of the major league teams. But in that day, they didn't have major league teams. And he was a man left-handed. And by him, the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. Now, I want you to see this here. It's a brutal thing that took place, and I offer no explanation for it. This man here, his actual name means red hair. He's a red-headed, left-handed fella. And the act that he performed, it lacks the heroic or the romantic. In fact, a hero doesn't become a hero like it did here. Well, here's the story. He was to go over and take a present to Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger, which had two edges of a cubit length, and he did gird it upon his raiment, upon his right thigh. Now, don't miss that. You see, he's left-handed. He'd reach over on his right side to pull out that dagger, you see. Well, in that day, when they searched anybody, they just looked on the left side because everybody was right-handed. I mean, very few people left-handed. And so when they search him, and notice what happens here when they did, he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. Here's a big fat king now. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, now he delivered the present, those with him, but when he started back, he left the delegation that came back with him, and he pretended he had a secret errand unto the king, and he did, by the way. It's quite a secret. I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence, and all that stood by him went out from him. He said, I have a very secret message for you. And the king thought he was going to hear something, you know, that really was secret. And he sent everybody out. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat, and Ehud put forth his left hand, and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. And the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Now, friends, here's just about as bloody a thing as you can look at, and it's not a very pretty thing. These are the days of the judges. And this man now, a left-handed man, went in with a secret. What do? Why, they search him. You know, the Secret Service of that day, they went down his left side, and there wasn't any dagger there, but he had it on the other side. And so he took it out at the convenient moment, and he plunged it into this big fat man. And what happened? Why, the dagger was just covered by the fat of the man, you see. And, well, he stuck him, friends, like you would a pig. It wasn't a cowardly act. It took courage to do what he did, and he did it almost by chance because it would have been very difficult for a right-handed man to have got in there and have done this, you see. But you wouldn't quite call this the heroic way of doing it, would you? I'm sure that we'd think of another way. Well, notice what you have here. Then Ehud went forth through the porch, shut the doors of the parlor upon him, and locked them. When he was gone out, his servants came. That is, the servants of the king here came, and they waited around. They didn't want to go in without the king calling them. And when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber. In other words, he's taking a nap, doesn't want us to disturb him. And they tarried till they were ashamed. They just kept thinking he'd wake up, and he didn't. And they waited until it was really embarrassing. And what happened? Well, they finally took a key, they opened them, and behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. And Ehud escaped while they tarried and passed beyond the quarters and escaped into Sarath. Now, while all this time was going on, it gave Ehud an opportunity to escape and get beyond the land of Moab where they could reach him. And in verse 27, it came to pass when he was come that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim. And the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, fall after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him, took the fords of Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lust and all men of valor. There escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. Now Ehud was the judge God raised up, and he had very little ability. In fact, I can't find anything he did other than this. He just happened to be left-handed and gave him a marvelous opportunity to get rid of the man that was bringing all of the tragedy into the lives of the Israelites. And he was the instrument God used. Now, I know that a great many people say, well, that was a bloody thing that he did. Sure wasn't romantic and wasn't heroic in any way whatsoever. But it accomplished the purpose. And God oftentimes uses this method to cut out a cancer of sin to save the body of the people. The thing is that it saved, probably because of this, thousands of lives. Now, a great many people are going to say, well, our civilization would not permit this. You couldn't say that because of the fact we dropped an atom bomb, you will recall, kill women and children. That is something that has apparently happened in South Vietnam. War is an awful, terrible thing. And the thing is, it delivered Israel, and it saved the lives of multitudes. But the supreme accomplishment was the fact that the only talent the man had, he's left-handed. He was a southpaw. Now, isn't that unusual? You remember William Carey was a cobbler. Dwight L. Moody had no formal education. Some folk down in Orange County let me have a cassette tape of the voice of Dwight L. Moody from a record that they had. He had a wonderful voice. I'd never realized that before, and I've seen pictures of him, and I never would associate the voice with the man. But he had no really formal education, yet he certainly sounded like he did. And you see all these J.C. Penney stores. Did you know he was the son of a preacher? And when his father died, the church in that day didn't provide a pension for the preacher's widow. And this boy, J.C. Penney, he went out and gathered up washing, and his mother took in washing. And he used to say when he did it, someday I'm going to grow up, and when I do, I'm going to make money, and I'll take care of my mother, and I'm going to take care of poor preachers and poor preachers' widows. Well, there's a place down in Florida named for Penney, and only retired preachers and widows of preachers can live there. He carried through what he said he was going to do. I may end up down a place like that, I don't know. And Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, when he preached his first sermon at a church, the committee met and turned him down. They told him they didn't think he could ever become a preacher. I'd sure hated to have been on that committee. And I used to hunt on the Brazos River with a rancher a man who had made money in oil, and he told me how, as a young fella, he'd gone out and taken this claim way out in West Texas. He said nobody would have had that land. It was so bad and the weather so rough, he had to move his wife and daughter and son into town. And then he'd sleep at night on a saddle blanket and a slicker over him and just make a trench around him, let the water run off. My friend, may I say that he told me this. He says, people think that I was lucky to hit oil on that land. But he said, I prayed that if God would only some way enable me to keep it and enable me to make money, I'd use it for him. That man, a great many people did think he was lucky and he had the oil money. But did you know he started a fund that just supported quite a few missionaries down in South America? You know, God can use you if you want to be used, friends. You can bake a cake, or maybe you're just left-handed today. God can use you.